In the end times, God is warning us. Not only will you have persecution, you'll have people who love themselves more. The issue is your heart will grow cold. And you will stop loving the Lord. You've got to persevere. You will not persevere when you don't love Jesus. Today, I want to discuss with you end times according to Jesus. What did Jesus have to say about end times? Are you curious? Do you know the doctrine of the second coming of Jesus is repeated again and again in the Bible? For example, in the first coming of Jesus, for every one prophecy, you have 8 prophecies about the second coming. If Jesus came the first time, the second coming, you have more prophecies. Out of 27 books in the New Testament, you have 24 books that talk about the second coming. Jesus repeats this again and again, mentioned 300 times in the Bible. Is it important, the second coming? Why? Let me tell you why it is important. According to Jesus, He wants you to know second coming because it's going to impact your life. It's going to impact your future. Whether you are ready or not, it's going to impact your entire life. That's why it is important. Why? Because some of you will be ready and some of us will not be ready. How can you be ready? That is the topic today. What's the reason? I want you to be ready for 3 benefits that I want you to know today. The first benefit is you will have protection because God wants you to know the truth. So God wants to protect you. Second, God wants you to persevere. Many times we give up. And number 3, God wants you to be prudent, to be wise. Let's start with the first one. God wants you to know the truth, to protect you from deception. Let's read together Matthew 24, verse 1 and 2. Together, ready, go. Jesus came out from the temple and was going away when his disciples came up and pointed out the temple buildings to him. And he said to them, now this is amazing. Do you not see all these things? All this beautiful, look at that temple, look at that building. And then this is the shocking prophecy. I say to you, everybody read, not one stone will be left upon another, which will not be torn down. Not one stone. Now you may think, stone, what's so unique about stone? Let me show you an example of how big the stones were. You know, when I was in Jerusalem, okay, this is me. Can you see how big the stones are? Now, these are not even in the temple. This is the Temple Mount. When I say Temple Mount, the temple is located on a plateau, but they build up the plateau by using this Temple Mount to put dirt on top. This is just, sa Tagalog, what do you call a retaining wall? This is just a retaining wall. It is not the temple itself. But according to Josephus, the size of the stone, if you look at this, this is still nothing. He says, not one will be on top of each other. What an amazing prophecy. Did it happen? Yes or no? How did it happen? In 70 AD, something happened. Rome got angry with the Jewish people. What Rome did, remember the Jewish people are very stubborn. They don't want to be under the Roman Empire. They rebelled. They kept rebelling. Finally, the king got so angry. He sent their best general, their best legion, Titus, Vespasian, these two generals. You know what they did? They surrounded Jerusalem. They slaughtered the people. They burned the temple. Now the temple has gold on the ceiling, plated gold. And when the gold melted, it went to the crevices of the stone. As a Roman soldier, you want money. So what did they do? They decided to remove all the stone, piece by piece. For what purpose? To collect the gold. You know, when Jesus says something, I've discovered, it will happen. Humanly speaking, unbelievable. When Jesus was teaching, that's around AD 30, in less than 40 years, the prophecy came true. The entire building, the entire temple collapsed. What is the principle here? Look at Matthew 24. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not pass away. You know what he's saying? When Jesus says something, it will surely happen. When Jesus promised something, it will surely come true. When Jesus gives you a warning and you disregard it, it will surely happen. My friend, you can bet your entire life on the strength of the word of Jesus. The only problem is this. Do you know the words of Jesus? And that's why he wants you to know, to protect you from deception. Let's read the next verse. He was sitting on the Mount of Olives. The disciples came to him privately. Tell us, notice, three questions. When will these things happen? When will the temple collapse? In their mind, it's connected with what will be the sign of your second coming. And then to them, it's connected with and the end of the age. Remember, he wants you to know the truth to protect you. Tell your neighbor to protect you. Protect you from what? Let's find out. Jesus answered and said, see to it that no one misleads you. Ah, to be misled. What does that mean? Let's find out. Many will come in my name. I am the Christ, and will mislead many. When many will come in my name, saying, okay, I am the Son of God, I am Jesus. So ladies and gentlemen, you need to know the truth. If not, you will be misled. That's why you need to know. Let's read the next verse, another verse. Everybody read. Many false prophets will arise and will mislead many. Do you understand? Jesus is saying one of the marks of end times is deceptions, lies. Another verse, Matthew 24. False Christ, false prophets will arise. They will show what? Wow, great signs and wonders. Huh. To mislead. Mislead who? If possible, even the elect. Who are the elect? Louder. Point to your neighbor. You are the elect. That's where you have the word chosen. Ecclesia. The word church is from the root word elect. Chosen. You see, Satan's technique is to deceive you. People don't understand the strategy of Satan. They think Satan will appear with two horns and a tail and then appear to you, booga. You know, if Satan were to do that, all of you will not follow Satan. You know why? You will run away. But how does he do it? I will show you from Revelation how Satan is described. Satan is described as a great dragon. He was thrown down, the serpent of old. You find that in the book of Genesis. who is called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He is a deceiver. Satan is a liar. That's what Jesus said. And his only way to fight you, to destroy you, is to lie. And you, once you begin the lies of Satan, you are in deep trouble. Remember this principle. In the book of 2 Corinthians, the Bible tells us the battle of the Christian life is in the mind. Remember? Paul says, our fight, our battle is in your thought life. You must capture your thought life. Make sure it is submitted to the Word of God. So if Satan would want you to do something bad, he begins with what? Thought life. If you believe something not true, it's going to impact your emotions. And then it's going to impact your action. People don't understand the power of thought life. You've got to guard your thought life. Satan's technique is to let you think God does not love you. Wrong thinking. The root problem of sin is to think in your mind that God is not after your best interest. The moment you fall into that trap, you are about to disobey God. You know why? Because Satan's tool is to attack your mind, your thought life. Think about it. So may I suggest, every time you have ideas, negative ideas about God, about people, before you jump to conclusion, you sit back. You pray. Lord, is this something from you or not? You see, God wants to protect you from wrong thinking, especially on notice. Go back to Matthew chapter 24. It talks about false Christ. Let's read this together. False Christ and false prophets will arise, right? Show great signs. Look, if possible to mislead the elect, everybody read, behold, I've told you in advance. Now, when the Bible talks about false prophets and false Christ, you may think, well, you want to confine that to the second coming. Sure, but expand your thinking. What are false Christ? False Christ, false Messiah. Many of us are clinging to something that is not true. It's called your false Savior. You think, if I have money, I will be happy. Money is your false Christ. The word Christ is the word for what? Messiah. You are counting on to save you. For some of us, you are counting on money, relationships. Some of you are thinking, if I get married, I will surely be happy. What are you thinking? Marriage will make you happy. These are called false Christ. So, principle number one, you need to know the truth so that you'll be protected. Understand? For your own good. If not, you're going to be in trouble. That's why Jesus is telling them now, I will tell you the truth. Beware of false Christ, false prophets. Today there are many false teachers. I was asked a while ago, how can you tell and not be paranoid with false teaching? Very simple. Do you know how? If you know the truth, master the truth, anything that is false, you know. If you focus on false, you study this false religion, you study that false religion, that's good. But that's not the way. The way is to know the truth. And once you know the truth, anything that is false, you smell, you know. So you got to know the truth. That's what Jesus is saying. Know the truth. I want to protect you. Let's read this together. Be on the alert. Everybody together. Be on the alert. You do not know the day. You don't know. So the lesson today is simply this. Always be ready, but you do not know the day. Because if you think he is not coming yet, and that's the best tool of Satan, so Satan is telling you today, no need to change. There's tomorrow. You don't need to give your life to Jesus now. There is a tomorrow. Jesus warns us in this parable. Look at Matthew 24, verse 48-51. Everybody, the master of that slave will come on a day when he does not expect him at an hour which he does not know. You know why? Because he believed a lie. What is the lie? The evil slave will say, my master is not yet coming for a long time. You see, when you hear this message today, be ready. Jesus is come again. You know what Satan will tell you? No need to be ready. I have the future. God is speaking to your heart. Repent. Change in your heart. Not now. Later on. My friend, look at the consequence. 51. Ready, go. I will cut him in pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites. In that place, weeping and gnashing of teeth. I want you to look at your concordance. Study weeping and gnashing. It describes those people who think they know God, but by their lives, it does not reveal any evidence. Weeping and gnashing of teeth. My point is this. What you do with Jesus today, whether you follow him or you don't follow him, will impact your eternity. Number two. What does it mean to be ready? To be ready means what? Look at the outline. To be ready means to persevere. Because if you don't persevere, you're going to have a problem. So three things you need to know. How to persevere. What are the three things I like you to know? Number one, Jesus is coming again. Okay? Everybody? Jesus is coming again. That's for sure. Number two, for sure. Nobody knows when. For sure. And number three, some will not be ready. For sure. Is Jesus coming again? Yes. Louder. Yes. Sure. When will Jesus come? Satan wants to mislead you. You do not know when. But always be ready. Sometimes people will use that to ask you, stop working already, stop working. Some people, they do nothing. They just study prophecy. That's all they do. But here is a prophecy. They eat prophecy for breakfast, prophecy for lunch, prophecy for dinner. That's all they study. Prophecy, prophecy. Excuse me, you better work in your office, okay? You need to work. You need to earn money to feed your family. You cannot just be, oh, Jesus is coming already. I will do nothing. That's also wrong. Now, don't be extreme. On the other side, he's not coming. So, forget about being ready. No, no. You must live as though Jesus can come anytime. Can I tell you how I do it? I live my life as though Jesus can come anytime. At the same time, I plan my life as though he's not yet coming. Meaning, I plan. I make long-term plans. But I live every day as if Jesus can come again. Are we clear? I don't neglect my responsibility at the expense of saying he will come again. I prepare. I know he's coming soon. I make decisions based on that reality. At the same time, I balance it with doing my job. So why do you know the truth? To protect you. Number two, for you to keep on doing what is right. Don't give up. Can I tell you the warning of Jesus so that you don't give up? Well, look at Matthew 24, verse 6 and 8. Together. You'll be hearing of wars, rumors of wars. See that you are not frightened. These things must take place. That is not yet the end. Nation will rise against nation. Kingdom against kingdom. Various places. Famines, earthquakes in the book of Luke, pestilence. All these things are merely the beginning of birth pangs. God is telling you right now, when you hear wars, rumors of wars, famines, pestilence, these are just the beginning of birth pangs. God is saying you're going to hear more of this. More of this will happen. So don't be shocked. There will be more pandemic. There will be more wars and rumors of war. That is just the beginning, okay? Don't get discouraged. Don't give up. What else will they do? Look at Matthew 24, verse 9. Then they will deliver you to tribulation. They will kill you. You will be hated by all nations because of my name. At that time, many will fall away and will betray one another. You know what God is saying? All of you will face persecutions. You'll have problems. I praise God in this country, if you are a true follower of Jesus, what is our persecution? If ever, do you go to jail? I don't think so. What's the worst persecution you can have in this country? Maybe they cancel you. Maybe they make fun of you. I remember when I became a follower of Jesus, my friend laughed at me. Bible ka na. You know, I will bring my Bible, put newspaper around it because I don't want them to laugh at me. I mean, that is the worst persecution you can have. Yes or no? Maybe. But today, can I tell you, based on research, what's going on today, if you look at the Open Door research, this is the research. Today, just 1 year alone, 4,998 Christians are killed because of their faith in Jesus. In short, 13 people will die every day because of their faith in Jesus. I praise God. You don't have this problem in the Philippines. 14,766 churches and Christian properties are attacked, burned, closed down. In short, average every day, 40 incidents. 4,100 Christians are unjustly arrested, detained. Average of 11 people per day. Many parts of the world, Christians are persecuted. Look at Matthew 24, 11, 13. Let's read together. False prophets will arise again and will mislead many because lawlessness is increased. Most people's love will grow cold. The one who endures to the end, he will be saved. This to me is the most dangerous. When your love for Jesus will grow cold. Many Christians will survive persecution, but very few Christians will survive prosperity. What do I mean? Look at 2 Timothy. You got to persevere. You got to know the truth. The Bible tells us in the last days, difficult times will come. What are the characteristics that God wants you to know so you will persevere? Men will be lovers of self. Lovers of money. I added here the last one, lovers of pleasure. I want to focus on love because when your heart grows cold, it's very dangerous. A research was made why many people don't go to church today. You know why they don't go to church? It's because of prosperity. In the States, because people are more prosperous. And I saw this in the Philippines also. Because you have more money, you have more options on Sunday. More places to go. More fun stuff to do. And that's why many people are not attending the corporate worship service. The issue is the heart. If you love Jesus, you will worship Him privately. And you'll worship Him collectively. By the way, those of you who are watching me, don't be, I'm not attacking you, okay? You want to worship in Zoom? You still love the Lord, okay? But I'm just saying, be careful, you guard your heart. You got to persevere. You will not persevere when you don't love Jesus. And you know, the truth is this. Will you please read Matthew 24, 14? This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations. And then the end will come. Jesus tells us a clear sign is when the gospel is preached through all the world. Let me ask you a question. Is this fulfilled? Yes or no? Today, you still have around 2 billion people who have not heard the gospel as of today. Today, you have more Christians than ever before in the time of Christ, up to now, you have more Christians alive. So there are many believers. At the same time, you still have many unbelievers. And that's why CCF, we send out missionaries, we evangelize. You know why? Jesus tells us one thing. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to the whole world. There will be a great tribulation. Such as not occurred since the beginning of the world until now, nor ever will. So this is called the great tribulation. The worst period of time in the history of humanity, especially against Christians. It's about to happen. And don't be discouraged. Persevere. Read the next verse. Unless those days had been cut short, no life would have been saved. Apparently, this tribulation affects others also. Because he talks about no life would be saved. But for the sake of the elect, who are the elect? Turn to your neighbor. You. These days will be cut short. In other words, the Bible says God will intervene. Read the next verse. Immediately after the tribulation, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from the sky, the powers of the heavens will be shaken. This is what I describe as climate change. Itong tunay na climate change. The whole universe will be affected. So don't be surprised when you begin to see signs. And then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky. All the tribes of the earth will mourn. They will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. Ladies and gentlemen, when Jesus came the first time, he was born in a lowly manger. He was born without great announcement. The people who saw him were shepherds, ordinary people. The second time Jesus comes again, there will be announcement, there will be trumpet, and the whole world will know. Look at this verse. The Son of Man coming on the cloud, meaning glory, with power and great glory. Are you ready? I want you to look at the timeline so that you will not be shocked or surprised. Based on history, our history is not cyclical. It's directional. The history of humanity is going to face a climax. And that climax is the coming of Jesus, the King of Kings. But notice, Jesus came the first time, 2,000 years ago. He promised before he comes again, Israel will be restored. Remember that in the Bible, 1948, we discussed this. There will be earthquakes, famines, plagues. These are the beginning. And then the Bible says you will have tribulation. This is for sure. What is not sure is the rapture. You may say, ano ba yung rapture? I want to teach you theology. The word rapture simply means you will be taken up. Now, many people argue unnecessarily. They say the Christians will disappear before the tribulation. Some say they will disappear in the middle of the tribulation. Some will say they will stay up to the end of the tribulation. Which is which? Would you like to know the truth? Look at me now. Jesus is coming again. Say that with me. Jesus is coming again. And we do not know when. Soon. When will rapture take place? Soon. That's it. Last, God wants you to be prudent. What is the meaning of the word prudent? To be prudent means wise. Because choices have consequences. How do you make wise choices? What does it mean to be prudent? That means you compare short-term benefit with long-term benefit. Are you short-term minded? Are you long-term? Temporal or eternal? Are you focused on the immediate pleasure? Are you focused on long-term pleasure? It all depends on you. But I want you to be wise. You got to make choices. Choices is about values. What is important, what is not. The coming of the Son of Man be, are you ready? All right. Matthew 24:37. Together read. The coming of the Son of Man will be like the days of Noah. It's going to be like Noah. In those days, before the flood, what were they doing? Eating, drinking, marrying, giving marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark. They did not understand until the flood came and took them, everybody read, all away. In other words, all of them perish. So will the coming of the Son of Man. What does that mean? The coming of Jesus is like the days of Noah. Let me describe to you the days of Noah. You need to go back to Genesis. So the Bible introduced us to a family called Noah. The first encounter of Noah is Genesis 5:32. Noah was 500 years old. The flood came when Noah was 600 years old. So in between, you have 100 years of Noah's life. And this is being described here. Noah found favor, found grace in the eyes of the Lord. The secret of this story is the word Noah found grace. In other words, you and I, the elect, the chosen ones, are product of God's grace. Grace means what? Something you don't deserve. It's from God. What else can you learn about Noah? These are the records of the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man. What will make you righteous? The grace of God. Blameless in his time. God's grace. Noah walked with God. How can you walk with God? God's grace. I cannot walk with God on my own strength. Noah became the father of three sons, Shem, Ham, Japheth. Next verse. Everybody read. The earth was corrupt in the sight of God. The earth was filled with violence. God looked on the earth, behold, it was corrupt. All flesh had corrupted their way upon the earth. Is the world corrupt today? Is it evil today? Is it violent today? Well, what can you learn about God? God sees, God knows. Look at verse 15. God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me. The earth is filled with violence because of them. Behold, I am about to destroy them. All of them. Let me ask you a question. Who alone has the right and the power to say, I'm going to destroy everybody? Who? Louder. Listen to me. Many times we question God. Can I tell you something? God is the creator. God is the King of Kings. And God is the Lord of Lords. God has every right to do whatever he wants to do. God decided years ago, I'm going to destroy everybody except the family of Noah. Can anybody stop God? No. Ladies and gentlemen, the earlier you understand God is God and we are not God, better realize God can do anything. But before you become afraid, realize God can do anything, but he's a good God. God is righteous. God wants righteousness. But God is holy. So when he sees something that's not good, it affects him. And then God says, enough is enough. My friend, all of you are given a chance to change your life. But don't count on that idea that you will always have tomorrow to repent. Because when your time is up, is up. God says, the whole world, I'm going to destroy. No man can stop him. And that's what he told Noah. Noah, I want you to imagine you're Noah, and you hear this from God. Ha! You're going to destroy everything? Will you be shocked, yes or no? Read the next verse. God told Noah, make for yourself an ark of gopher wood. You shall make the ark with rooms, cover it with inside and outside with pitch. This is how you shall make it. The length of the ark, 300 cubits. Its breadth, 50 cubits. Its height, 30 cubits. You know, my wife and I had the privilege of visiting Noah's ark. So I'll show you the actual picture. This is the best replica in history that they tried to follow the biblical dimension. Noah's ark. This is very, very big. It's over 500 feet long. It's very wide. The ratio is 6-1. Any boat engineer will understand the best design is when 1 foot width, 6 feet length. 1:6. Look at this amazing picture. This is how big the door of the ark is. Is it big or small? Very big. We are inside the ark, okay? Why did I want you to see the picture of the ark? Let me tell you why. Look at Genesis chapter 6, verse 17. Let's read together. Behold, I am bringing the flood of water upon the earth to destroy all flesh, which is the breath of life. Under heaven, everything on the earth shall perish. Let me ask you a question. Does God need to ask your permission if he wants to destroy the earth? Yes or no? Can anybody stop God? You better understand, our God is sovereign. He does not need your approval. He does not need your permission. There's no Supreme Court in the universe that can stop him. Because God is the King of Kings. But I praise God. He's good. He's righteous. He's fair. But he's holy. And there is a time when God says, enough is enough. And that's what he says. But then look at his grace. I will establish my covenant with you. You shall enter the ark, you and your sons, your wife and your sons. Notice, he emphasized your three sons and their three wives. Eight. Remember the magic number, eight. Only eight will be saved. Read the next verse. Everybody, the Lord said to Noah, enter the ark, you and all your household. For you alone I have seen to be righteous before me at this time. 7 more days I will send rain on the earth, 40 days, 40 nights. And I will blot out from the face of the land every living thing that I have made. Everybody read. Noah did according to all that the Lord had commanded him. So God commanded Noah, Noah, 7 more days. The rain will come. The flood's going to happen. Enter the ark. Let's read the next verse. What happened? On the very same day, Noah, Shem, and Ham, notice three sons, Japheth, the sons of Noah, and Noah's wife, and three wives were with them. They entered the ark. Those that entered, male and female of all the flesh, including the animals, remember? God chose the animals. As God had commanded him, everybody read. And the Lord closed what? Closed the door. I want to emphasize something. Today, the door of salvation is open. It's open. But one day, that door will be closed. And when the floods came, I will guarantee you, many people would have loved to enter the ark, but they could not enter. Why not? Who shut the door? Not Noah. God. I want you to think of that. Because one day, that door will be shut. What does it mean to be wise? The meaning is, look at Hebrews 11:6. Be like Noah. The Bible talks about without faith, it is impossible to please God. He who comes to God must believe he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Notice, I want you to know something. Without faith, you cannot please God. What does it mean to have faith? God gives the example. Read the next verse. Hebrews 11, verse 7. Everybody read. By faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence, prepared an ark. In other words, real faith is obedience. You hear, you believe, and what do? You take action. By faith, Noah, warned by God about things not yet seen. Noah has no idea what is the meaning of a flood, what is the meaning of this rain, no idea, but he believed. In reverence, prepared an ark. That's being wise. Next, louder. For the salvation of his household. A wise man will consider the salvation, not just of himself, his family members. You know, Noah was a wise man. He also focused on his family. He built an ark. Not just for himself. He obeyed God, right? God cares about family. Continue reading. By which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which comes according to faith. Don't misinterpret this verse. Salvation is not by works. You are saying, well, you know, salvation means you need to build an ark. No, no. Building the ark is a byproduct of his faith. Genuine faith will produce what? Action. Building the ark is the evidence of what? Faith. But more than that, I want you to notice something. By which he condemned the world, by building the ark, Noah condemned the world. Noah's life was exemplary. He condemned the world by his action because he obeyed God. People ask him, what are you doing? I'm building an ark. Why are you building the ark? Well, God told me there's going to be a flood. I'm on flood. What flood? You've got to be joking. My friend, people will laugh at you today. They will tell you a Bible study. Huh? You guys are wasting your time. That's okay. You just make sure you do what God wants you to do. Are you prudent or not? Well, you better think through. What's your values? No one knew what's going to happen. He focused on the ark. He focused on his family. He focused on what God wanted him to do. Now, what about the other people? Can I ask you a question? Did the other people have any idea that the flood's going to come? My friend, is it possible there are some people here today, you hear about it, you know about the coming of Jesus, but you do nothing about it? I'm afraid some of you are outside the ark. You know, the ark is a picture of salvation. God wants you to be inside the ark. The door is open today. But the day will come when that door is going to be shut. And I don't know what that day is for your life. But right now, God is saying, come. The door is open. God wants all of us to be inside the ark. Surrender your life. Jesus tells us, I am the door. In the ark, only one door. Are you inside? Are you outside? You can believe all you want in the head. Faith without action is foolishness. Noah was a wise man. He was prudent. He took action. Some of you know Jesus, but you are very silent. You are not witnessing for Jesus. I suggest, Paul tells you, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus. This is a charge. Who is going to judge the living and the dead? You are accountable to God. What must you do? Preach the word. You preach the word two ways. By your mouth and by your life. If your life does not reflect Jesus, I suggest don't preach. You know why? You do more damage. But you must be like Noah. Practice what you preach. What's the message today? Jesus is coming. Be ready. How can you be ready? Persevere. How can you be ready? Be wise. If God has spoken to you, and you find it meaningful, you want to repent, you want to be inside the ark of salvation and not outside, you need to repent, will you raise your hands? I'll pray for you. Lord Jesus, I want to be ready. I give you my life. Anything that I need to change, will you help me change? By grace, I come to you. Thank you for giving me this opportunity to repent of my sins, to repent of my life. I surrender to you. Help me to take you seriously from this day onward. Lord God, I now pray for the others. Encourage them also to share the gospel with their friends, to live out the gospel. Will you bless everybody here who have surrendered their lives to you? In Jesus' name we all pray. Amen and amen. God bless you.